Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer with my extraordinary co-hosts, Ryan, Rick, and, of course, Sean Dill. We have an amazing opportunity here because we've switched the tables on a legend, the Hall of Fame sportscaster herself. She's been doing this longer than you've been alive, Ryan, by the way, not to age her. She's also a host here at SiriusXM, the amazing, the incomparable, that's right, Linda Cohn on Office Hours. Welcome back.
Listen, you promised me, David, that I would have a return engagement, and you kept your promise, which I'm not surprised. It's great to be with you again. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being here. And it's interesting because I've been a sports fan. I've been a front office executive, an agent, a marketer in sports. And there's certain people that have had not only an impact on me, but on sports as a whole. And Lee Steinberg to me was one of those people because he really defined sports agentry and social impact as a sports agent by utilizing his athletes for good causes and purposes. Today, I have three daughters, and I still don't think they truly understand the shock as a sports fan of seeing a woman sportscaster for the first time. And they look at me like, you're insane, Dad, of course. And I said, well, thank you, Linda Cohn. It's just like with Warren Moon. People don't even look at black quarterbacks anymore. They don't talk about it. It's just there's so many. It's the norm. And you created the norm. I would love for you to tell us what your greatest challenge was when you started, to give a little perspective for my friends and family that have no idea what I'm talking about. There was actually unintentional and intentional bias for women to do anything in sports.
Well, I'll tell you, thank you for putting me in that category. But that is really for me in my career, which, you know, 32 years at ESPN and a decade before that, like just trying to make it to ESPN, working at various places. To answer your first question, the biggest challenge is not to let the noise get to me. I think I've told you this before, but it's worth repeating. I mean, I was a kid with very low self-esteem. And when you're a kid with very low self-esteem and you're trying to succeed in a profession that barely anyone has ever done as a woman in a man's world, I think I would define that as a challenge, wouldn't you? And how did I do that? I had several nights of just, you know, crying in my room with the door shut, thinking I wasn't going to make it. But I had incredible parents who believed in me, and it starts there. But I just blocked it all out, David. I mean, you know, and you're right. Young people now, thank goodness, they do see so many women broadcasting sports, whether it's sideline, whether it's in the anchor chair, whether as an analyst, which I thought I would never see, you know. And then, you know, another thing, just women involved in sports, in coaching men. A little side note, as I, because, you know, talking about myself, I mean, I like talking about others who have also been pioneers. So not only do I work at ESPN, still hosting SportsCenter, and I'm on SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio, but I also am the host for a bunch of games this year for the Seattle Kraken, which is a National Hockey League team. The reason why I bring them up is they have a woman behind the bench, part of the coaching staff of a National Hockey League, you know, franchise. And I see Jessica Campbell and I'm like, this is amazing. And she looks at me and says the same thing. But I always said to people and young people, I mean, just follow your passion. I mean, what do you got to lose? And that's what I did. And, you know, it all worked out, but it you have to block out what people think and say. And in this world of social media, David, it's the challenge times 110, you know, for young women, because even though we've come so far, we still have a long way to go, especially in the broadcast industry. I really do believe that. And I do believe we should see more women in management. But for me personally, that's what I'm most proud of, seeing all the young women doing what they do, doing what they love. And also young men who grew up with me knowing that it's okay to turn on the TV and get their sports from women because they were watching me in kindergarten, right? And that to me is also, I'm very grateful for, because I think not only did I make an impact with women, of course, and girls who love sports, but made it clear to boys that they can turn on SportsCenter or wherever they get their sports and see a woman giving them what they need in sports information. And it's no big deal.
As an ex-professional baseball player and someone who's huge in media, Ryan, what are you thinking?
Yeah, Linda, Ryan here. So speaking of kids watching you as a kindergartner, I was one of those guys, as David said.
Ryan.
Yep, so I was one of those guys. And
F you, Ryan.
Yep, you know. So, hey, I love it. I love it. One thing that sticks out to me that I'm curious about is, you know, you're talking about over 30 years in, you know, just SportsCenter and ESPN alone, and to still have longevity in the entertainment industry, which is hard, right? I mean, the entertainment industry is always chewing people out, spitting people up, you know, the new kid on the block, young, all these things. Yeah. Why have you been able to have such longevity?
Yeah, great question. Absolutely great question, Ryan. And I love answering this one because I'm a fan first. I've always been a sports fan first. I never took on this job, and it's never been a job for me, but I never took on this profession thinking it was a job. And it sounds cliche, but it's a fact for me in my life. I still love my teams, the teams that I lived and died for, maybe not died, thank God, but, you know, had high blood pressure for, or maybe not high blood pressure for, but tremendous anxiety over. How about that? I still love those teams, whether it's the Mets, and I'm so proud of them this past year, you being a baseball people, 2024, one of the most greatest seasons in Mets history, so satisfying, even though they didn't get to World Series. But I still love these teams. I love the Rangers. You know, I'd rather not bring up the football Giants. But over the 30 years I've been in this business, I've not only loved the teams, but I find the positivity in individuals and individual athletes as well. And so the viewers have always seen that, whoa, she really does love sports. She not only knows it, but she loves it. She's one of us. And that's always the greatest compliment I could ever receive.
No, I love it. I mean, if you love what you do, it shows. And I think people can see that.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Not Michael, but Rick.
What's shaking, Linda? Hey. So I'm thinking about this, right? And I'm picturing the movie Anchorman, you know, the character, yeah. Veronica Corningstone, right? Which was sort of based on, yeah, a real story. Classic. For sure. You know, and she's like, I read the news, Ron, and I nailed it. You know, can you describe to me your moments? Please, you know, did you know you were going on, you know, that first time on radio? Did it kind of just happen? Was this something you were vying for the whole time? Give me your experience leading up to that first time and how you felt in that seat.
Yeah, nervous as hell. I mean, totally nervous. I mean, even now, you know, like I said, when I'm covering a National Hockey League game and I'm high above at Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle and I look below and then we're moments from doing a half hour pregame show. And then, you know, and we have to just react once the game is on to in intermission and the post game. And you're just flying by the seat of your pants. And for me to still have that excitement and get that adrenaline rush at this stage of the game is fantastic. And that's probably why I went out and took that extra opportunity. But people are amazed that I still find that adrenaline rush by hosting SportsCenter because, you know, for instance, last night I hosted the late SportsCenter and we were, you know, we did a whole hour show and we had to wait around till, you know, the Golden State Warriors were done with the Dallas Mavericks and Klay Thompson. Anyone who follows the NBA, it was his first time back with in the Bay Area. They had such a great welcome for Klay Thompson. He's a Dallas Maverick now. And, you know, I still get excited, like reading a highlight cold, right, without seeing anything. Or maybe just peeking at the game and then putting on a show, not only informative, but entertaining and getting that passion through the screen of like that. I sat there at the edge of my seat watching this entire game, which, of course, I did not because there are so many games we follow. So everything you think happens still does for me. I can't speak for everybody who's been in this business this long and even some who've been in this business half as long. The sports fan can tell if you're a phony out there. I'll just say that. You know, ooh, and I think you guys, wow, can agree because you're all sports fans. You can tell if someone's just reading something or have faked enthusiasm or they're just not feeling it. And I'm a sports fan and I see it too. I'm not naming names. Well, you know, that's what I'm telling you.
Well, but you're not naming names, but you put the pressure on my anchor man down there. Sean Dill, pressure's on. How enthusiastic are you?
I'm super enthusiastic. Linda, I've had the pleasure of interviewing you here on this show in the past. So either that means that you do the show a lot or I do the show a lot. I'm not sure which one. But one of the things that I love about this show is that it's so much fun. The panel is fun. David's fun. We just have a blast, yeah, here. Getting the opportunity to talk to people like you is just, that's the extra, the cherry on top. I want to know your funnest moment as a SportsCenter anchor. Who's the funnest anchor and what's the funnest that you've ever had anchoring the show?
So many moments, you know. I try to have fun and not take everything so seriously, even though I'm a diehard sports fan. So it is a fine balance. But I think the key to whoever I'm working with, and I have lost count how many SportsCenter anchors I have worked with, how many different ones. I know I lead in the clubhouse of how many SportsCenter anchors I have worked with. I don't think anyone has worked with as many different SportsCenter anchors than I have. So who is the funniest? I mean, it's people that are not there individually, right? It's like they play off you and you play off them. They allow you to jump into their stuff so, you know, they can jump into your stuff. It's a team out there. I mean, some of the all-time funniest guys, like, you know, he's no longer working for us, but Kenny Mayne. Kenny Mayne was just dry. I mean, he was the Stephen Wright of SportsCenter. I mean, he'd always make me laugh by not even cracking a smile. He would just put out,
sounds like Sean,
something, and then I'd be like, I cannot look at this guy. I have to look straight ahead because I will lose it, man. I will absolutely lose it. So, you know, I always say, and he knows it, you know, we still keep in touch and he knows he can still crack me up by saying the craziest things, you know. And then just, you know, someone goofy like John Butchergrass, you know, he'll just say fun things, or we'll throw in music things because both John and I are really big on music, you know. And he'll throw out some, you know, something corporate or some, you know, band that's crazy. Maybe it's me that does the emo bands because I love emo bands, but these kind of things just random during a sports highlight. So you just try to find something to have fun. Even if it's been stressful, you know, I'm not saying it's all, you know, ice cream and cupcakes leading up to a show, because it's not. And there are sometimes a little insight. I'll give you an insight to the situation. Now, I love Steph Curry. Okay. Obviously one of the likable, greatest basketball players ever, fun, amazing. But a little inside info, when you host the LA Sports Center and you're the show of record, meaning that's the show that's repeated overnight, right, until the morning crew comes in Bristol, Connecticut, you have to wait. Like, he takes his time. It used to be LeBron James taking his time to address the media, the poor beat reporters who are at this game waiting to hear some kind of soundbite they can write about or use. Well, Steph Curry, it's now a new world record. Game could be over. I'm telling you, it takes him like 90 minutes at the very least to get to the podium and say something. And I got into a little rant last night while we're waiting for him, because the rest of the show was done. And we're literally waiting for him to be that last piece of the puzzle. And I said to my producer, you know, tongue in cheek, in a loving way, I'm like, if he has to say something important, I'm sure he wouldn't want to wait 90 minutes to say it and address the media when it's like 11 p.m. Pacific time. Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, my producer, like, made believe he was listening to me, but that's just not how they do things. God forbid if he does say something really significant or some cute soundbite, we have to have it in the show. So I was like, all right, I got over it quickly. I mean, you know, it was an extra half hour, perhaps an extra 45 minutes before I got home, because I'm waiting for Steph Curry to grace himself. And I really feel bad for the media folks, you know, these hardworking people who were there. But these are the kind of things. So not everything is super great. But then I say to myself, oh, so what am I doing? I'm waiting for a basketball player to show up and talk to the media. There are worse problems.
It is definitely a first world problem to wait for Steph Curry. And you sound like my 14-year-old son who's been spoiled with all his exposure to so many great athletes. It's like, I don't want to go down to the field. And I'm like, oh, poor guy. You know, like, wait, we got to go to the game early to go meet Tatis. Dad, I don't know why. It's batting practice. Anyway, we share the love of the game and all the games and our teams. And my teams fall into the same genre as yours. And I have lost, I think, a few years off of my life rooting for the wrong teams. It would have been easy to be a fair weather fan, but true fans are not fair weather. And I am a true fan of yours, and so are my boys here. We are honored and graced by your presence. Please promise me that someday you'll come back in person, whether it be at SoFi or at the Wynn. You always have an invitation, not an obligation, to be a part of Office Hours. Thank you, Hall of Famer Linda Cohn.
Thank you so much, David, and your incredible panel. Thank you, and no, I really love being a part of it, the small part, and continued success.
Thank you.
Well done.
We appreciate it. What a compliment from a legend. Have unbelievable guests here and unbelievable messages here on Office Hours.